I've been here each month to preach and then to eat with you in your lunch. I have to confess, I've had a problem with you. I prayed about it and tried to get over it. Each month when I come, you serve a very fine lunch, but no chopsticks. So, once or twice a week, I eat at a Chinese buffet near where I live. As I leave, I take an extra pair of chopsticks with me. That might be considered stealing. I didn't know what to do. But this morning, God answered prayer. I now have my very own and so every week I can now come, or every month I can come prepared. They're fancier than what I'm used to. I have to learn to use them. But if I have a problem, I have backup. Thank you very much. My problem has been solved. Now I'm happy. I want you to listen this morning just to a brief teaching from the Word of God. It's a very familiar passage. Would you find your Bible and turn to Ephesians 2? Now, if someone is sitting nearby that doesn't have a Bible, you can share yours with them, so they can see the words of the Scriptures for themselves. I'm going to read this first in the English, and then we will hear it in the Chinese. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace You have been saved through faith. And this salvation, you see, is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Almighty God, we invite the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, that the words that are spoken, the attitudes and the images of our hearts as we receive, may be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The key word in these verses of Scripture is the word saved. Well, what does it mean to be saved? Recently in the news, there have been stories of floods, earthquakes, shootings, and bombings. In every one of these situations, we have learned about people that have gone in to save those that have been injured. It's referred to as a rescue operation. Well, this passage in the second chapter of Ephesians tells us about God's rescue operation. More than bombings, shootings, or floods, we need God to save us. I want to answer three questions, and we'll try to do this briefly so you can hear it and think about it. And these questions are all answered by Paul in the second chapter of Ephesians. So keep your Bible open in front of you. First question, from what are you and I to be saved? And the second thing is, to what am I to be saved? God comes to bring us out to the receivers of his gift. And then by what power are we saved? Let's look at these quickly. From what are we to be saved? Why do we have this rescue operation? He begins in the first verse by telling us we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, to be dead in our trespasses and sin is not easy sometimes for us to understand. I think we all feel very much alive today, don't we? Are you feeling pretty good? Well, maybe a few aches and pains, but we're alive. The scripture teaches us something different now. The easiest way, I think, for you to grasp this is to look quickly at the story of the prodigal son. Now, most of you probably remember that story of the son who took his inheritance and went away and squandered it. The father sees him returning. He calls for a celebration. And the question is, why the celebration? Father says, this my son who was dead is alive again. Well, his son hadn't died, had he? He was separated from the father and from his father. He had established a pattern of behavior that ultimately would mean death. Physical death as well as spiritual death. He had spent everything he had. And he recognized that he was dead. Said, I will go back to my father. When we read about death in the scriptures, we are often talking about this fact. If we are separated from the Father, we are dead in our trespasses. We see many people that look physically very attractive. We see the athletes, the professional ball players. They look very alive, don't they? Watch, I'm going to flex my muscle. Oh, you can't see it. And we see many beautiful people coming out of Hollywood in the movies. We learn about them getting in their jet planes and flying, or being in their big boats on the water and sailing. They look very much alive. We're not talking about the external. We're talking about the internal. That's why even among some of these people that look very alive, we hear the stories of suicide. And we step back and we say, why would someone like that take their life? Because if you're apart from the Father, you're dead in your trespasses. Now, when we're dead and yet still alive, we have to develop a way of living. And Paul goes on to point out, if we're dead, we live according to the system of this world under the control of Satan. And the consequence is we are under the wrath or judgment of God. There are many people that don't like this idea of the wrath and judgment of God. God is a good God. God won't be angry with us. God will not judge us. He loves us. Well, if you believe judgment and wrath are not good, we got a bit of a problem. All those policemen out there in their cars and walking the streets, we need to fire all of them. Get rid of them. Because they're all going to judge people's behavior. And they're going to implement a punishment that seems like wrath. But that won't happen because we're going to dismiss all of the judges and juries. Because we're going to tell them they're not supposed to be judging people, and even if they've murdered, slit somebody's throat from ear to ear, you know what I'm talking about, we're not supposed to assume a position of shouldn't do that. That's not good. And some of us don't feel we deserve wrath because we're not that bad. But when we talk about you or me being good or bad, we are always using that phrase in a relative way. I'm good. I'm not like those criminals. Well, I'm pretty good, but maybe not as good as the best of the saints. You see how I determine my goodness by comparing myself to others. If we all do that, we come out pretty well. Except God says, it's not the criminal nor the saint, but my perfect standard by which you are measured. And the word sin means to come short of the perfect standard of God's glory. But the wonderful message is, God loves you. God's incomparable love and grace says, I want you to be alive. So he says, He says, I want to save you to a new life. So, if He saves us from death, the system of this world, and Satan and his wrath, what is it to which we are saved? Well, obviously, the very first is He saves you to true life. John 10:10 says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. So, I don't have to be like the athletes to look like I'm alive. And I'm glad for that, because being 80, I ain't got much left up here. And I don't have to be as beautiful as those folks in Hollywood. That will never happen. But God says, I'm going to introduce you to the fullness of life within. I'm going to celebrate your homecoming to the Father. And I am going to embrace you. I'm going to give you eternal life. Dead or alive? The question centers around Jesus Christ and His presence in your life. He saves you to a new position in Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to raise you up so you can be seated with Jesus Christ in the heavens. What does that mean? It means you are now in Christ. And Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Paul said, I give all my past up that I may be found in Christ. And then he says to us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. I've been rescued. I've been saved from that. And the new has come. And all this is of God, who has reconciled us to Himself. And of course, he goes on to say that all of this is to prepare you to do good works. Now, are we saved by faith, or are we saved by good works? That's not the issue here. He shows us clearly that we are saved by grace through faith, and what follows is good works. Now, James says, if I look you over and I don't see any good works, I've got the right to ask, have you been saved? Because if you've received new life, if you're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, you're going to begin to lead a new life. A And you're going to begin to have a passion and concern for the needs of people around you. Well, you've really already answered question three, by what power are we saved? He says, with his great love, he has saved us. We're all going to say a verse of Scripture out loud in our own language. We've done this before. I want you to do it again. Everybody together say John 3:16. Together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you say it? He so loved you. He gave you the joy of knowing eternal life. And that eternal life begins now as he rescues us from death, from the system of this world, and from the control of Satan. And all of this is a gift. This was an unexpected gift. It's not just a gift, but being unexpected and very helpful, I am delighted. I didn't pay for this. I didn't even ask for this. But it was given to me. It was given to me. November the 19th, 1949. I was a very religious boy. I had been baptized in the Roman Catholic Church. I went to Methodist Church. And then I went to a Lutheran church for a while. And then finally, I wound up in a Methodist church where they had revival meetings. I didn't know what that was, but I was invited. And they said, it's Saturday night is for youth. You remember I told you the story before. I was only there because I was dating the preacher's daughter. And he wouldn't let her go out with me because I was Italian. So I went to church. Well, I could sit next to her. And I carried my Bible. And we used to get little pins if we were in Sunday school every Sunday for a year. I had the pins to prove I hadn't missed in several years. And on Sunday night, I sang in the youth choir. It looked real spiritual. But the preacher's daughter was sitting next to me. And the preacher was there where he could have his eye on me. And so, here I am. I'm baptized. Oh yeah, I was baptized at a Baptist church too, so I'm okay with you folks. There I was with my Sunday school pins, with my Bible, with the preacher's daughter. That youth rally and told me I was lost. He said, "You may be a good boy. You may be a good girl. You may be very religious. You've been baptized. You take communion. You've never experienced in your heart the new life that comes from Jesus Christ. And he gave the invitation. Numbers of young people got up and began coming forward to receive Christ. Not going to go down there, I said. Pastor is looking. He'll think I'm unsaved. Bad enough to be Italian. He'll never let me date his daughter. But at the end of that invitation, God got a hold of my heart. I knew that with all the other good things, I was dead in my trespasses. But almost at the very end of that service, after singing many verses of "Just As I Am," I stepped out down the aisle and knelt at Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And we invite you this morning to see that gift. Now you may be religious and a very nice person. Maybe you're very athletic, even beautiful. The invitation is to receive what you can have only faith in Jesus Christ. You know him today as your Savior. You've been a part of the rescue operation where he takes you from sin and death and gives you. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this great truth from the second chapter. We are relieved that we do not have to buy it or earn it. But both the gift of salvation and faith are your gifts to us through Christ. I pray for men and women here this morning. Good folks and very religious. They look healthy and prosperous. There's something missing inside. They can't sing the hymns with joy. They don't feed on your word because of an inner hunger. They don't understand what it means to rejoice and be full of joy. Oh God, this morning they need to be saved. May your Holy Spirit do His work in our midst. And draw to yourself those whom you are calling. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the Christ, our Savior. Amen.